Okay, now, also thinking back, I think I need to reinforce that, of course, you know, if you take the word amanat, trust, that on a wider level, our life is an amanat, it's a trust. Our soul, in other words, is a trust from God. The whole of the planet Earth is a trust. You know that nowadays people are increasingly becoming aware of how we have treated this Earth. Yeah, I don't know if any of you had the chance to watch the television show about the Earth Shock Awards. You know, I found it amazing that David Attenborough, when he did his short speech, what did he say? He said, you know, we have thought up to now that human beings were separate from nature and that, you know, we were arrogant and we thought we had the right to control nature and to exploit it and to do whatever it felt like that. You know, this is something which is in Islam from the word go. It was in 1979. Amir Bhai is here. He attended that Asia Society speech in New York, where Maulana Hazrat Imam for the first time spoke about Islamic architecture. And what did the Imam say? In Islam, we do not have dichotomies. Man and nature are one. I'm quoting those exact words. I have used those words so many times when I have shown outsiders around the Ismaili Center. Man and nature are one. Now, today, people like Attenborough, they are saying exactly the same. But the Imam said that a long time ago. That is in the Quran. In the Quran, if you look at Surah 3, Ayat 191, which is about doing zikr while you stand or sit or lie down, the next sentence is that, and there are those who do fikr, who reflect on the nature. Zikr and fikr, not only are they rhyming, they are equally important, that by looking at nature, by absorbing its messages, by looking after nature, by being one with nature, you are also remembering God. So for me, it's very important that when you talk generally about trust, there are many trusts, of course. You know, when you have children, physical children, they are a trust from Allah. He has given those children to you to bring them up properly. If you have well-being, prosperity, that is a trust. And what does Islam say? That you should have a social conscience with it. That you should also look after those who are not so well off. So there are many, many trusts that are there. But in this ayat 8:27, the words are, O you who believe, betray not. Do not betray the trust of Allah and the Messenger. So when it's specified like that, Allah and the Messenger, then you have to look for what could these be. And those are the two things which Nina so beautifully summarized, Surah 5, Ayat 15, Nur and Kitab-i-Mubin. And the same things were repeated by the Prophet at the Ladirekum event, which, as you know, is described at length in my paper on Hazrat Ali, that I am leaving behind me two significant things. And this is why this hadith is called Hadith al-Sakalain. Sakalain means two weighty or two significant things. Now, having, you know, repeated that and reinforced it, if you like, with another additional ayat and clarifying the understanding, I want to now share with you something which will be very new to you. It will be very new to you. So I think many of you are aware, and Hazrat Imam in the 1979 visit to UK, he used this word, Ahl al-Kitab. Ahl, A-H-L, and then separately A-L, hyphen kitab. Ahl meaning people. Ahl, people. Yes, there are, you know, Arabic, like every other language, has similar sounding words. So you have to be very, very clear about what they are. Okay? Yeah, that reminds me that the word which is the opposite of amanat is kianat, K-H-I-Y-A-N-A-T, kianat, to break the trust. And in breaking a trust, the danger is that some people may claim the right to that trust. That's what I had also pointed out in my last session. And Nina said that we had digressed. Yeah, you can say that we had digressed, but actually I was giving you a historical example of how this trust was claimed by somebody else. And that was the example of Umar, the second caliph of Islam, so-called. And as soon as the Prophet declared Hazrat Ali, he was the first to congratulate Hazrat Ali. Bakhan, bakhan, ya Ali, you have become the mullah of all the mu'mineen, and my mullah as well, my master. And then 3 months down the line, he and Abu Bakr, the two fathers-in-law of the Prophet, they go off without even bearing the body of the Holy Prophet, which I have described in my paper. It's very important for us to know these things, not in order to have hatred or enmity or bitterness, because for us, we have nothing to be bitter about. Our imamah carries on. Our belief in the imamah carries on. The light is never blown out, as the Quran says. So, but to know the history, that here is somebody who claimed that leadership, whereas the Prophet had given that trust to the Ummah at the Dirikum as two things, the book and my progeny. And you said that you didn't quite understand the word Fulan. So let me clarify that as well, that the word Fulan in Arabic is something like Tom, Dick, and Harry. You know, when you say Tom, Dick, and Harry in English, I used to usually change that to Harriet, because Tom, Dick, and Harry to me is very, you know, male-oriented. So I include a woman's name in it. Means anybody, right? No particular person. Somebody. Yeah. So when the word Fulan means exactly that in Arabic, and some of our da'is, particularly Pir Nasir Kisra, he in his poetry does not mention these names of the so-called three caliphs. He just uses the word Fulan, Fulan, Fulanra, which means Tom, Dick, and Harry. Yeah, could be anybody, right? So, but everybody, every Ismaili knows that those three Fulans mean those three who claimed, who broke the trust to the extent where they claimed the right to be the leader of the Muslim community, where it was the right of Hazrat Ali to be that. And how different history would have been if they had not behaved like that. Think of that. Okay, so that's one other clarification. Now, let's come back to what I said I would share with you today. Ahlul Kitab, people of the book. I give you a few seconds to think about that. This phrase can have two meanings. One, a positive meaning, and another, a negative meaning. How? I've given you a little bit of time. Positive meaning, the positive meaning, you know, and that's what the Imam used it in the sense of in that Farman, by Ahlul Kitab, are those people who believe that God has sent revelations to prophets, such as the revelation to Hazrat Musa, the revelation which we know is the Torah, the Old Testament, and the revelation to Hazrat Isa, which we know as the New Testament or the Bible, which we also call the Injil, and then we have the revelation to Prophet Muhammad, which we know as the Holy Quran. Its other name is Furqan. Okay? And we know that prophets prior to Hazrat Musa had revelations, but we do not have any, any manuscripts or anything, right? That we can. But the Quran mentions things like suhuf, S-U-H-U-F. It is the plural of the word sahifa. Suhuf means scriptures. So we know that Hazrat Abraham, Hazrat Nuh, they all had these scriptures. Okay, and it is a requirement that a Muslim believes in Allah, believes in his books, his prophets, his angels, and the day of Qiyamah or the day of judgment. You know, these are the common beliefs. So when you say Ahl al-Kitab, people of the book, means that Jews, Christians, and Muslims have a book in common. They all believe in books from God, right? And I think in our Gnanic traditions of the South Indian Jamaat, you know that our peers use the word Ved Quran, Ved, Vedanta, Ved Quran. So it appears that yes, that we Ismailis would not hesitate to accept that there were Hindu scriptures as well, right? Inspired writings, divinely inspired writings. And that's what Maulana Sultan Al Shah says, that Islam is so spacious, so broad-minded. It doesn't just include the prophets of the Middle East. It also includes the divinely guided messengers of the Far East, of the wise men of China, of Ram and Krishna and Buddha, etc. So all those people who believe in divine revelation, it's a plus point. It's a common heritage. It's a belief. We can all agree on this, right? It's a wonderful point. That's a positive side. Now, what can be the negative side of Ahl al-Kitab? Remember, we have two trusts. We have the Nur and the book. So now, if you become just Ahl al-Kitab, meaning the people of the book, but you give up, or you dismiss, or you reject the Nur, you are only left with the book. And you do not have access to the inner meaning of that book. I hope you internalize. Now, we as Ismailis today, with a lot of humility, we should be thankful. We should be grateful. We should feel really happy that we have both. We have the light and the book. But that is unique to us. This is a unique. And you know, in 1994, Maulana Hazim Imam said that there are some unique characteristics of the Shia. What do you mean by unique? Unique is something nobody else shares. It is unique to us. That's completely specific and special and particular to us. And this is the trust of God and the Prophet, Nur and the book. And this is what the ayat of Surah 8:27, which we recite in the fifth part, is all about. Okay? So I have really quite enlarged that understanding today, I hope. I have clarified what is Fulan, and I've also clarified that we have immediately after the Prophet's death an example of a big khianat, a big betrayal of the trust to the extent of usurping the leadership of the community. Okay? And we are, you know, now in a position to repeat that type of history. But we should be well aware of it, because its effects, its the messages which have come from that betrayal of trust are still existing amongst this wider ummah. We should be aware that when we talk to others, let us talk on subjects which are of common interest and not go into these sort of debates, unless you know the Quran really well. Okay, now we come to the rest of the part. The rest of the part is a dua. I hope that I don't have to say this. I'm sure you all noticed that our dua is structured so that every part always begins with something from the Quran, either a complete surah or some phrases from ayats or a complete ayat verse. And then there are duas. So in this case, in the fifth part, we have Rabbana, Rabbana ghfir lana. Again, the two words ellipse, they go together, right? We don't say Rabbana aghfir lana. We don't do that, right? We don't break it up. We say Rabbana ghfir lana, zunubna, wasakhil umurna, warzukna, warhamna, innaka la kulli shayin kadir. So what does all that mean? Rabbana, we have that many times. O our Lord, forgive our sins. Aghfir. Aghfir is forgive our sins. What are our sins? Nafarmani. Whenever you do nafarmani, that's a sin. And then after that, wasahil umurna. Now, because some of you are learning Arabic, I want to show you an interesting aspect of the Arabic language here. This word, umur, umur is the plural of the word amr, A-M-R. But you know, this word is very special in the Ismaili Tariqah. The word amr, like the way it is used in ulil amr minkum, ulil amri minkum. That word amr means command, divine command, yes? And therefore, because it is a command, its plural is awamir, awamir. Whereas this word, plural word, is umur. And here the word amr also, original word is amr, doesn't mean command. It means work, tasks. So, wasahil umurna means to make our tasks easy. You know, it's a very, very, I mean, you know, all of us begin new things, right? I begin new pieces of writing or research or whatever. You must also begin new things all the time. Very important to realize that that's what we are asking for here, is to asking Mawla to make whatever we have undertaken to do, khidmat in the Jamaat, sharing knowledge in the Jamaat. These are tasks. We should ask for help to make them easier for us. And then warzukna, from the word rizq. And again, here we are not just asking for physical food. We are also asking for spiritual nourishment. And we are asking for intellectual nourishment. All these years we have recited the dua. This is what we have been asking for. But because the penny hadn't dropped in our mind about the spaciousness of the word rizq, we are only looking for physical food. And warhamna, have mercy upon us, you know. We need Allah's mercy. We need Mawla's mercy all the time. And then, innaka la kulli shayin kadir, you indeed, you are powerful over everything. It's a very, very beautiful prayer. Rabbana ghfir lana zunubna, forgive us our sins, zunubna, wasahhil umurna, and make our tasks easy, warzukna, give us the nourishment of all aspects of our life, and warhamna, and bestow your mercy on us, and you are powerful over everything. You can recite this dua at other times as well, in other words, right? not only when we are reciting our three times dua. And then comes a tasbih, which is unique to this part. And we stop here, the reciter stops here, and leads a tasbih of Ya Aliyu, Ya Muhammadu, Ya Muhammad, Ya Ali. Look at the depth of this tasbih. It describes the Ismaili belief in the cyclical nature, in the eternal presence of and the cyclical nature of divine guidance. In other words, when you say Ya Muhammad, you are remembering the light of prophethood, of nubuwa, of messengership from Hazrat Adam to Nuh to Abraham to Moses to Jesus to Hazrat Nabi Muhammad. They are represented in this word Ya Muhammad. And then Ya Ali represents the light of imamat. So you have divine guidance all the time. For 6,000 years of every cycle of 7,000 years, you have the light of the prophet working very much centered stage. And the imamat, the nur of imamat works in an esoteric manner behind the stage. And then in the final cycle, the light of imamat, imam-e mubin, the manifest imam, that is in the forefront of the stage. This is all divine wisdom. But this tasbih should remind us of the eternity of that light which cannot be blown out, whether it is in the form of a prophet or it is in the form of an imam. And this nur is one nur, but it has two functions. The light of prophethood's function is to give the exoteric, the tanzil, and the light of imamat has an esoteric function, a batini function of giving the wisdom, the hikmat, the inner meaning, the batin of the Quran or the book. So Ya Ali, Ya Muhammad is a very, very important tasbih when it is recited like this together. Ya Ali, Ya Muhammad, Ya Muhammad, Ya Ali, Ya Ali, Ya Muhammad, Ya. One should be aware that that's what we are invoking. We are invoking the ever-present, the ever-living light of Mawla. Yes? We are not talking about the historical personalities of Hazrat Muhammad or Hazrat Ali. Yes, it's a deeper concept, yeah? Okay. And then we come to the final part of the dua, which is very, very important. Ya Imam Zaman. You know, just before the tasbih, we had finished with Innaka la kulli shayin qadir. Allah is all powerful over everything. But immediately after this tasbih, we address the imam directly. Ya Imam Mazzaman, or the imam of the time. Ya Mawlana Anta Quwati, you are my strength. Wa Anta Sanadi, and you are my support. And wa Laika Ittikali, and in you is my trust. Ya Hadi, or the present one. Ya Mawjudi, Mawjudu, or the existing one. O Shah Karim Mul Husseini, Karim Mul Husseini in Arabic, you are the true and manifest Imam. Allahumma laka sujudi wa ta'ati. Now, we've already seen this example in the second part of the dua. If you remember, Allahumma ya maulana minka madadiyu alayka mautama. Oh Allah, from you is my strength and my help. And then, ya Ali bilutfika adrikni. Oh Ali, come to my help. This is our fundamental understanding, that we seek everything through the imam. Nobody has direct access to the to Allah as such. It is only through the advocacy and the agency and the presence of the imam that you have whatever you want from Allah. Mercy, blessings, forgiveness, and whatever you want to send Allah, your prayer will go through him, your zakat or the song will go through him, everything will go through him. Because the Imam is the bridge between the divinity and humanity. I've said that many, many times. He is the bridge between divinity and humanity. That's why he has both aspects. He's in a human body, but he's divine. And if you look at the rest of your dua, first part, the salawat. So blessing is through the Prophet and his progeny, through Ali and the pure Imams. See? The second part we've already discussed. Third part, tawassalu indal masail. Seek at the time of difficulty the help of your Lord, Mawla. And the fourth part, same thing. Very clearly that this is Yadullah is your intermediary between you and God. And therefore everything, forgiveness, whatever is through him. And the fifth part. So it is a consistent message. Just as it is consistently, repetitiously said that the Imam has to be present and living. And from the Arabic grammar point of view, it's a fifth part and the second part where we say Karimul Hussein. Karimul Hussein. But in the other four parts, we say Karimil Hussein. Because the, you know, Arabic is not known in the Jamaat. Therefore, we make these mistakes of pronunciation, yeah? But in the second and the fifth part, we say Karimul Husseini, and then Allahumma laka sujudi wa ta'ati. Just a little bit more information about alayka tikali. Alayka tikali. The word ittikali, its root word is wakala. Wakala. And wakala means advocacy. Advocacy. You know, you have an advocate who will fight your case in the court. That role. And so the Arabic words are wakil. Wakil. And anybody who reaches that level where God becomes, you know, part of their existence, where they merge in God, then we say tawakkal. Tawakkul. Tawakkul. And that is in the first part of the dua, right, as well. That, and I think many of you will know the tasbih. What is the tasbih? Hasbanallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Wa ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. Ghufranaka rabbana wa ilaykal masir. This was in our old Gujarati dua, as a matter of fact. Yes? Hasbanallah. Allah is sufficient for us. He is our wakil. He is our mawla, a master. He is our nasir helper. And unto him we return. So that word wakil is in that tasbih. It's in this dua here. And it means we are asking the Imam to work for us between him, us and the light of God. Yeah? Because he is the light of God. Okay, and so exactly on time, that's the end of our fifth part, and we are going to go on to the last part next week.